If you would, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. And we're going to read a few verses over Ephesians chapter number 4. And I'll try to get some information about all this stuff that's going on. Let's be much in prayer. Meetings are going on. They're having their Old Paths Revival meeting over at Willow Valley this week. And I think their services started 6 tonight, or I'm not sure about tonight, but 7 through the week, and then 9:45 in the mornings. And so remember that as well. Ephesians chapter 4. I would like to read the whole chapter, but I'm not going to take time to read all of it, but I want to pick a few verses and read out, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Ephesians chapter 4, let's begin at verse 1. Paul said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Look at verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Then look over in verse 29. He said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let's pray. Father, we come today and I want to thank you, Lord, for letting us be here and all the blessings that you've given to us. Lord, we need your help. We ask God that you just speak to our hearts. Help us as a church, as thy people. Help us to be what we ought to be. Lord, we pray for the community. We pray for the lost all round about us. We pray for those that have received a gospel tract or witness this week, Lord, that they might come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. And Lord, I pray you'd speak to our hearts today from the Word of God, that we as a church might be what you'd have us to be. Lord, how can we expect to have spiritual children if we don't know how to take care of those that you put into our care? Lord, help us, as the Word of God says, as the members, to have the same care one for another. Help us to be the light and the salt you'd have us to be in this lost and dying world. Lord, we need your help this morning. I pray the Holy Spirit would just speak to our hearts. Help me. As only you can, I plead your blood, and I pray to be hid behind the cross. Lord, I pray you'd help me to say what you'd have me to say, and Lord, not to say anything I shouldn't. So Lord, have your way. Speak to hearts. We'll thank you for all you do. We ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. All right, let's read verse number 29 one more time, and we'll start there this morning. Ephesians 4 and verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And the last part of that verse is what I want to get my title from this morning, but it says that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, last week I preached on the subject of biblical counsel. In fact, it was biblical counsel versus the counsel of the world. Well, this would be part two. I didn't feel like last Sunday I got through with the subject, and I got home, got studying about it, thinking about it, and just felt led to study along those lines again. But this would be part two. If you listened or you didn't hear last week, you ought to get that CD and listen to it, or go online and listen to it. And don't give anybody last Sunday's unless you give them this Sunday's as well, because I think the two need to go together. But this Sunday, I want us to think about this thought, the minister of grace. I never really noticed that before, but that'd be a good minister to be, wouldn't it? To be a minister of grace. It said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it, talking about what we say, it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, last week, part one was counsel from God's point of view. And I'm not going to preach that whole message again, but counsel from God's point of view is before. Isn't that wise of God that before you go off and do something that you ought not to do, God has already told you before that you ought not to do it. Now, that is wisdom. That's the wisdom of God. God's counsel is preventative. It is to prevent us from ruining, wrecking our life, going down the wrong road, listening to the wrong people, doing the wrong thing. God's told us everything we need to know before we ever get there. That is the wisdom of Almighty God. And so God's counsel is before. God's counsel, we said last time, deals with sin. Now, all of our problems come from the fact that we are sinners. If we were not sinners, we wouldn't have any problems, would we? Adam and Eve didn't have any problems at all in the garden until they sinned against God. So what's our problem? Well, we're sinners, and not only are we sinners, but we sort of like it. That's the hard part. Don't look at me like you don't like it. Like I'm the only one. That's how we are. That's our nature. We are sinners by birth. We are sinners by choice. We sin. We choose wrong. It brings about unlimited possibilities of problems into our lives. But God's counsel deals with us as we are. They all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we need a Savior, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the third thing we said was God's counsel is Christ-centered, not crisis-centered. The Bible said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the answer to sin. Is the Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that He made upon the cross of Calvary. And so that was the gist of the message last week. Now, in a perfect world, we would always listen to what the Lord had to say. We would always obey His word. As soon as we found out that we were in sin or in error, we would repent and we would turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? We don't live in that kind of a world. In fact, in our day and time, I would say we have more preaching, more teaching, more church, more access to materials, anything you want to learn about, know about, books. I mean, there are all kinds of ways. You can turn on the radio and hear good sound preaching from the Word of God. You don't have to travel 50 miles this morning to hear a message from the Word of God. We are blessed infinitely with the Word of God today, and we have more access than any other generation before us, but we also have more problems, or at least we think we do. I don't really know if we do or not, but we think we've got more problems. Nobody's ever had the problems that we have. That's sort of our attitude. That's sort of how we think about it. And you would think that in these last days there was an added office in the church. In Ephesians chapter 4, we see that the Lord gave to the church what it would need, what she would need. Verse 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, but we live in a day and a time where we would think that we have added counselor into that. I talked about that last week. You can go and pay to have what is called Christian or biblical counseling. Now, you'll never find an example of that in the Word of God, but we live in a day and a time of counseling, going to counseling, talking to somebody, all of these things. You can go to the phone book and find counselors, but there's no counselor mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11. I've already pointed out that there is no such thing in the Bible as a psychology-based, sit on my couch and tell me your problems type of counseling. You will never find that in the Word of God. It is not there. But a lot of people think that's what they need to do, is to go and sit and talk with somebody. And God has not called us to rehash and recycle and rehearse, relive, review fleshly sins of the past. Paul said in Philippians 3:13, he said, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, forgetting those things which are behind. He knew his sins. He knew his past was under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he said, I'm not worried about that. I'm trying to forget about that. Forgetting those things which are behind. But we do have problems. We do not always listen to what the Word of God has to say. We do mess up. Let me show you from the Word of God what we do have. The biblical pattern to receive guidance and counseling and help. First of all, let me point out, who is qualified to be a minister of grace? Look here in verse number 7, Ephesians chapter number 4. Who is qualified to be a minister of grace? That's what we're preaching on, Ephesians 4 and verse 29. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. Who's qualified to do that? Do you have to go to college? Do you have to get a certificate? Do you have to take a course of learning? Do you have to buy books and read them to be a minister of grace, as it's talking about here? Look what the Bible says, Ephesians 4 and 9. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Unto every one of us, that is those that are saved by the grace of God. God's given you just as much of the grace of God as He's given me. We're saved by the same grace. We live by the same grace. We believe the same grace of God unto every one of us. I like that. You know, over in 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 9, we like this verse as well. The Bible says over there, it says, but ye're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Ye are a royal priesthood. Aren't you glad you don't have to go to a priest? Confess your sins, bring your sacrifice, tell all your secrets to in the church, in the real church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are no big I's and little U's. But we are all a royal priesthood together. We've all been given the grace of God. Isn't that a blessing? And so, whether you believe it or not, you may be the one person that can help somebody else in the need that they have in their life right now. Do you know you might could help somebody that I couldn't help them? But if you've been through what they're going through, you know what? If you have wisdom in the Word of God, that qualifies you to come alongside and be a helper in the things of God. I like 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 8. Well, I don't like verse number 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil's trying to get you and he's trying to get me. But you know what? There's not a period there. It goes on into verse number 9. It says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. And then it says, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Sometimes we think the devil is out to get me and only me. I'm the only one that's ever gone through what I'm going through. You know what? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren. And so we do have pastors, Ephesians 4 and 11. We do have evangelists. We do have teachers, and thank God that we do. But do you know also in Titus chapter number 2, we have the aged men and the aged women that are supposed to teach and to help the younger men and the younger women come along in the things of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18. The Bible said, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We need some Spirit-filled people in our churches that will be able to help one another. He said back in Ephesians 4 and verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The body does not have to go outside the body to get the help that the body needs. What kind of body would that be if the Lord said, well, you've got everything you need right in the body of the church, but you have to go outside for the real hard problems? There would be a problem with that. We don't have to go outside the body to get what we need in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter number 6 and verse 1, it says, brethren, when a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. All the help that we need in the church ought to come from within the body of Christ, not outside of the body of Christ. So how do we do this? How do we minister grace unto the hearers? Now, verse number 29, Ephesians 4, verse number 29, that is talking about what comes out of your mouth. It is talking in the context of the church and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of chapter number 4. The Word of God says over there, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Three things I'm going to share with you about that. Number one, if we are going to minister grace unto the hearers, we will have to manage the tongue. Might as well start with the hardest one first. We will have to manage the tongue. Now, you ought to get a pen or a pencil and start underlining some things in these verses. In verse number 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Well, I tell you, if we really obeyed the word of God, it would be a quiet world, wouldn't it? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And we know verse number 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Have you ever noticed that grieving the Holy Spirit of God is in between two verses that are talking about talking? Have you ever started to say something and that prick in your heart, that nudge from another world, which was from the Holy Spirit of God, that was trying to tell you beforehand, don't say that. That's grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Before, it's talking about talking. after. It's talking about evil speaking. Put away from you with all malice. We're going to have to manage the tongue. You see, we live in a talking society. People talk about everything. People talk about things they ought not to talk about. People put things on the internet they got no business talking about for all the world to see. I'm going to preach on that one of these days. You know, it's when you put something on Facebook. I don't know about Tweedledee and Tweedledum and all the rest of that stuff, but I know a little bit about putting something on Facebook. It's called a post. A post is something you dig and you put a big pole in the ground. And if you wouldn't write your feelings out and stick it on a post in front of your house, if you wouldn't stick it on your shirt and walk around all day for everybody to see, you shouldn't post it on the internet for everybody to see. But boy, we live in a talking society. We talk about everything. We think, well, we live in a day where we think that other people care what we think. So we post things and we tell people things and we don't manage our tongue like we ought to. But most counseling is actually talking about someone else behind their back. It usually involves exaggeration on one person's part. It involves embellishing the truth for the one that's talking. And it also involves lying and complaining about somebody else. Now, I have in ignorance sat down and listened to people trying to help them, trying to do, but I'd never studied it out or had very much help from the Word of God. How do you actually help people that's going through their problems? I'll tell you, that's not the way to do it. You do not find that example in the Word of God to sit down and talk about somebody else behind their back. Instead, the Word of God says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That's what the Word of God says. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Do you think you can be not so dear? I don't know. God loves all of us, but I heard somebody say that one time. And I can't get it out of my mind. Every time I read that, I think about, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. But you look on down, he talks about relationships in the family, in the home. He talks about servants as well. Chapter 5, verse number 21, look what the Word of God says. The relationship between the husband and the wife. Ephesians 5, 21, submitting yourselves. It's talking about, well, verse 21, everybody submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For example, if a wife comes to me or any of the other preachers in this church or preachers' wives and wants to talk to somebody, they are having problems in their home, if they say anything negative or wrong about their husband, they have violated what verse 22 says. They've not submitted. They have put their husband a notch down, and whoever they're talking to about their husband, they put them a notch up. They have violated what the Word of God says. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. The Bible said in Proverbs 31 and 11, talking about the virtuous woman, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. In my home, with my wife and my family, I appreciate my wife. And we had this conversation years and years ago in our marriage. If she goes off with a bunch of ladies, don't tell them about me. Talk about whatever you want to, but you ladies, you want to ruin your marriage relationship, go off with a bunch of other women and tell all the secrets of your home and what your husband does and does not do. And I'm telling you, he cannot trust you if you do that. Marriage is a lot about trust. The Bible says the heart of her husband does safely trust in her. The wife should never cut her husband down. Never air all of his imperfections in front of other people. The only exception to that would be if he is doing something to break the law. What I mean by that, because we live in a sinful world and this comes up. Well, preacher, my husband's abusing me. He's abusing the children. He's doing something like that. Under those circumstances, that is breaking a civil law. That ought to be reported to the authorities. Get them arrested. Call the law on them. If they won't do anything, let me know. Me and some of the men in the church will go out and beat them up for you. Say, preacher, is that in the Bible? I'll get back to you on that. I'm sure I can find that in the Bible. Just give me a week or two, but you say, there ain't no sense in that. God never expected somebody to let their husband use them as a punching bag. And that ought not to go on. A lot of times that'll be somebody that claims to be a Christian. God help you. Do you see what I'm saying? Just your normal everyday problems that everybody has, don't tell everybody about that. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. It talks about wives. It talks about husbands. Look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Do you think the Lord Jesus Christ runs down the church? Boy, we deserve it, no doubt about that. But I don't see in the Word of God where he runs down his bride. And you know, if we are saved by the grace of God and want to be the husband God's called us to be, we should not go out and run down our wives in front of others. Look at verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. What'll love and take care of our brides. Of her wives, not talk about them, run them down. It talks about children in chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. You young people, listen to me. Don't you get around somebody else and run your mom and daddy down because they don't do everything you think they ought to do. If God blesses you, you will live long enough to say, one day, my mom and dad is pretty smart. They knew some things. See, there's a lot of that goes on in our society, young people, and that is not honoring your parents. Your parents are not perfect. I dare say any of them thinks that they are. If they do, well, pray for them. I don't know. That's not the gist of the message this morning, but the Word of God says you ought to honor your parents. But you know what? A lot of times young people get around, they'll talk to somebody else about their parents. That is not how you get help in your personal life. We're talking this morning, if you want to minister grace to hearers, you're going to have to manage the tongue is what the Word of God says. The Bible says, for example, what about work? Ephesians 6, 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Look at verse 9, and ye masters do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. What's the Word of God? You know what? You know how this is. You go to work. You get around somebody that's complaining. Do you know what it does? It breeds more complaining. It never fixes or solves anything. It just makes everybody discontented, hateful, grouchy, cannot enjoy anything. Complaining is contagious. Where do we as Christians, where could we ever justify that if the Word of God says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Here's what the Word of God says. Proverbs 30 and 10. Accuse not a servant unto his master, lest he curse thee and thou be found guilty. Or Proverbs 18, 17. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just. Somebody tell you their side of the story, it's always going to sound real good. You want to write that down, it's Proverbs 18, 17. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. You ever had somebody tell you how it was from their perspective? Boy, you just took their side. I mean, how could that? But here somebody else comes along and says, that's not the way it is. His neighbor cometh along and searcheth him. There's always two sides of the story. How are you going to minister grace to the hearers? Going to have to learn to manage your tongue. The Word of God in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we're admonished that nothing be established except in the ear of two or three witnesses. I'm saying this morning, where in the world is it biblical to get alone and talk about other people? That is not biblical. You cannot find it in the Bible. There's a multitude of evidence against that very thing. It's never helpful, never beneficial or scriptural to talk or complain about somebody, expose other people's sins in their absence or in their presence. Cannot find that in the Word of God. You say, preacher, what can we do? Now, there is godly counsel. There is some things we can do. We can teach, we can preach, we can testify, exhort, encourage, come alongside, speak the truth in love, rebuke, identify external sin, correct, comfort, forgive, and we can pray for people. How many times do we hear that when somebody's got problems? We get down with somebody where they are and pray with them. Pray with them about their problems. You can find that in the Bible. You can find forgiving each other in the Bible. Verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Try that. It works wonders. Forgiveness. All this bitterness, all this anger and wrath and clamor and evil speaking. In verse number 31, there is no end to it whatsoever. There is no end. You get anger and bitterness towards somebody, it'll go. It'll never go away till you die. There's people dies bitter and angry with other people. The only answer, if you want any relief from it, is forgiveness. When there's forgiveness, you can get relief from it. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You may not be shouting this morning, but I'm trying to help you. The Word of God will help you. If you're going to minister grace to the hearers, you're going to have to manage the tongue. Number two, you are to mature through the problems. Chapter 4, verse 12. The aim here, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Look at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. God's will for us is that we would grow up in Christ. that we would be perfected in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, which doesn't mean perfect, we don't sin anymore. It means perfect, being mature, being grown up in Him, grown up in Christ. Look at verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that we get the place where we even think different. We don't even think like we used to. A mature Christian in Christ does not think like the world thinks. And what they might tell you might sound like it's from another world. Do you know why? That's because it probably is. If somebody gives you biblical instruction versus what the world says to do about something, it'll be totally opposed to the system of the world. But God's will is that we mature through the process, but we live in the Laodicean church age. We live in a day and a time we don't want problems. We don't want to deal with them. We don't want to go through them. We think and act like sometimes that why would God do this to us? If you live this life and you don't have any problems, you'll be the first one to make it through. Who are we to think that we're going to be immune from having our share of problems in this life? Why me? Why is this happening to me? Why do I have to go through this? How can I get over this? How can I get this off of me? How can I have it taken away? How can this be happening to me? That's the attitude you find a whole lot of times. Do you know what? We're not the first generation of Christians to have problems. Afflictions, trials, persecutions. James chapter 1 verse 2. James said, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God may allow a problem to come into your life, a trial to come into your life to draw you closer to Him. When we have everything we want and everything is going just exactly how we think it ought to be going, how many times does that cause us to get close to Christ? It's when trials come. It's when afflictions come into our life. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5, the Bible said, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. God uses trials. God uses problems. God uses persecutions and afflictions and sicknesses and financial. God uses all kinds of things in our lives to get us where we need to be. And we would never get there if it were not by going through that trial, by going through that affliction, that temptation that comes into our life. God uses problems. But see, our day and time, our way of thinking, all we want to do is run to somebody and say, ooh, I have this problem, get it off of me, so I can go back to how I was. We don't come and say, oh Lord, what's wrong? What's going on? What can I learn? What do I need to, how can I be victorious through this? We just want it gone. That's how most people are that want counseling. They just want it gone so they can get back to how they was. But most of the time, there's no such thing as that. You don't just remove some things like a wart that you don't want, or like a cancer on your skin or something like that. God allows problems in our life. How do you even know your faith is worth anything if it's never been tested? A faith that's never been tested isn't worth anything. And so God allows tests and trials to come into our lives. I was talking to somebody yesterday, hadn't seen them in a few years, and they were telling me about what they had experienced in the last few years, financially speaking. There's a lot of people have lost a lot of finances over the last several years. They're not where they were, and they'll probably never get back to where they were. But you know what that gentleman said to me? He said, you know, he said, I'm happier now than I ever was. He said, and my wife and I have learned that we can live on nothing. If you've never learned that you can live on nothing, you really can. You don't have to have everything you thought you had to have once upon a time. But you got to find your happiness in a different source. And he was talking about loving the Lord and being closer now than he's ever been before. He wouldn't have had that testimony had he not had financial difficulties and problems in his life. What would you do with the book of Job and all the problems that he had in his life? We have to, God's design in this is that we would mature through our problems. Verse number 29, he said, once again, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You will never minister grace unto hearers with your lips if you've not been through some things in your life. Your I know how you feel will just be empty. But when you've really been there and you can come along and say, I know how you feel, that makes a whole lot of difference. So we have to mature through the problems. And last of all this morning, verse number 13, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 13, look what he said. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. If we're going to minister grace unto the hearers, we're going to have to learn what it means to magnify the Savior. That's what he's talking about in verse number 13. Till we all come into the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Ephesians 12 in verse number 1 and 2. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. We're to be looking unto Jesus. We need to magnify the Savior. When we have problems in our life, what are you going to do? You can come to me. We can sit down and cry about it together, or we can look to the one that can do something about it. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not called anywhere in the Word of God to be problem solvers. We're called to be Christ exalters. In fact, if you look up the word problem or problems, do you know what? It's not even in the Bible. There are no problems in the Bible. There are trials, and there's afflictions, and there's things like that. But actually, the way we use problems, it's not even in the Word of God. But there is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's given us the Word of God. And he's given us the Spirit of God. And if we will follow the Lord Jesus Christ in the Word of God and obey the Spirit of God, you know what? God has a way of getting us where he wants us to be. I like verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. I was thinking about this, and I'm going to close this morning, but the choir over at Brushy, where I grew up, my grandmother, she used to sing this song. Now, I'm not going to sing it this morning, but I'm going to read some of the words to you. I can hear her singing this in my mind. She would sing a song, and it said in the first line, it said, O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his glorious face. We need to magnify the Son of God when we have trials, when we have afflictions. Who are you going to run to that's going to love you more than your own father does? Who are you going to go to that's going to help you more than the one that knows everything from the beginning to the end, the Lord Jesus Christ? Nobody. Nobody. David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." He had the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I close this morning. I'll read verse number 29 one more time. We do want to help people, but a lot of times in our trying to help people, we do more harm than good. But I sure would like to be a minister of grace unto the hearers. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that's building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let's have our heads bowed.